Hello and welcome to the Dancecast, where I explore dance as an art form, traveling to non-traditional places and with non-traditional doers. I'm your host and my name is Silva Lakkonen. Oh, it made me so happy to hear the tune for Dancecast because I haven't heard it for a long time. So happy 2017, everybody. We had an amazing chance to go and work at Keshet. We received a fellowship for the contemporary dance in 2017 and we're there for January almost the whole month. And then we had a loss in the family. So sorry for all the time that there hasn't been Dancecasts. But I have been recording an amazing podcast with amazing people. So this first month, about a month, we will have people from three different generations of mixed ability dance or integrated dance talking about their work. And then after that, we have a whole series of people who work site-specific work. So, and they've been amazing to record. I'm so happy to share them with you. But today, we're going to start with this amazing woman, Mary Verdi Fletcher. She has been a pioneering force in the development and success of physically integrated dance for over 30 years. One of the world's first and foremost professional wheelchair dancers, she has worked and studied with such esteemed artists as Donald McHale, David Rousseff, Diane McIntyre, Dennis Nahad, Keith Young, Penn Veerian, Christopher Reeve, and many others. Seeing the need for training and career opportunities for dancers of all ability levels, Miss Verdi Fletcher created the Multi-Arts Dancing Wheel School in 1990. Attracting students from around the globe, the school is becoming the worldwide center for physically integrated dance. As an educator, Mary has conducted masterclasses and lectures and has consulted with notable arts institutions across several continents. Also a tireless arts administrator and advocate, Mary has helped develop state and national programs for arts and disability service organizations and has worked to help to pass significant pieces of legislation. Her efforts have paved the way for others in their quest for full and equal access. Mary's recent professional affiliations include Executive Committee Member for the Careers in Arts Summit, Program Committee Member for the Association of Performing Arts Presenters Annual Conference, Advisory Board Member for the Arc of Greater Cleveland, and Board Member for Ohio Arts Presenter. She's also the Artistic Director of Dancing Wheels. And here you can hear more about Mary's thoughts about that integrated dance world and about things that Dancing Wheels company and school do.
So Mary, thank you for coming as a guest for our Dancecast.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for inviting me.
I remember you once telling me how you, since you were a little girl, you decided you wanted to be a dancer. Isn't that true?
Yes. Well, and I was really fortunate because my mother was a professional dancer and my father was a musician. So, I had that vision based on them and their stories of how they traveled and their experiences as artists. So that gave me that vision that it was something that I wanted to do.
So you didn't have to do any convincing of your parents to letting you to become a dancer because your mom knew what the life is?
Well, you know, it was quite a journey. So I think she fostered that love of dance and art in me, but I don't know that she had realized that it was going to lead to a professional career.
Oh, wow. Because I often, I remember when studying myself, you know, you exchange those with your peer students. You're like, yeah, my parents wanted me to go to this and this school. They didn't want me to become an artist or a dancer. But I was thinking maybe it was easier for you as your mom and dad was both artists.
Yeah, well, I think in terms of my business ideas. They wanted me to, have a solid business career background. So I think, they wanted to make sure I was well educated. And so, the two tracks of business and art really has been very helpful for me.
Yeah, that I'm actually sad I wasn't pushed into that direction, because I can see it being super helpful.
Yeah.
And then how old were you when you put Dancing Wheels Dance Company together?
Well, in 1980 is when we first started to perform. So I was in my 20s.
Wow. Did you go to any traditional training before that, or how did you train?
There actually wasn't any professional training for people in wheelchairs anywhere in the proximity of where I lived, or even in elsewhere in the United States at that point. So I had to learn from my non-disabled partners, and later I trained in the School of Cleveland Ballet, and then I worked with various choreographers in modern techniques as well. So I've had a lot of training along the way, but initially, there, other than what my mother could teach me, there really wasn't any formal training.
Yeah, and I guess we're still a little bit in that train now, today still.
Yeah, that's why I really have such a great fervor to create tools that will allow training on an equal basis for individuals with disabilities.
And so part of your dance company is also, you have a school.
Yes. Yeah, we have outreach, an educational component, and an in-studio school training, and then the company on a professional level trains every day, actually. We have class every day, and then repertory in the afternoons.
And is all your classes at the studio, in-studio, accessible?
Yes. They are all inclusive, and we use a form of translation, both for the stand-up and the sit-down dancers, so that we can all take class together.
Oh, that's wonderful. You have also written a book, right?
Yes, we have a manual. It's a training manual and a DVD that was published as part of Mark Tomasik. He's our artistic advisor. It was part of his thesis project in school. And then it later, he and I worked together on each of the areas of direction, as far as training goes. And it was really based on the 36 years of experimentation and development in our class structure that this manual was created. So it was published in 2012, and it's been actively sought after. So we're excited about that.
Yeah, and you host summer intensives too, that then if you have the manual, it's like a perfect combination, correct?
Yes, and last year we also had a teacher's training. So it was portions of that manual that were sort of dissected, if you will, and created a whole week of training for individuals who want to be able to teach the methodologies that are used in Dancing Wheels. So there was a whole practicum and testing that came out of that. And that's our first step to our certification program.
Oh, nice. So, and are you gonna repeat that this summer as well?
We're going to repeat it not during the summer dance intensive. We'll do it at other junctures during the course of the summer. What we see is that individuals might not be able to spend an entire week in the training. So we're working on being able to pare that down in chunks so that they can learn at a certain level and then be able to move on from there. We're also looking at the creation of virtual classes. So
Wow.
It could be long distance learning as well.
That sounds super exciting to me, at least. That is great. Yeah, I actually gone through the book and it's really it looks like it's really intense and well thought and very practical tool for teaching
Yeah.
mixed abilities.
What we really are hoping too is that they can get not only just the manual, but also a hands-on experience because there's so much involved in the thought process of creating inclusive movement. So, they would have questions along the way while they're reading or trying to do what's been outlined in the manual. So we would love to have that exchange. And we'd like to see people being able to test out on it so that, people aren't just going off saying, well, I have a manual and I can teach this.
Yeah, no, it definitely also, I can see that it becomes such a powerhouse together with the hands-on training. That's
Definitely.
wonderful. So we can keep updated on the teacher training on your website.
Yes. We actually just are rebranding the organization. So we have a new website coming out, and we've had a new logo and look. And so we have the World Center for Integrated Dance and Arts Access is our part of our logo.
Oh wow. I love that. So Dancing Wheels is this year then 37 years old.
We're in our 36th season, yeah.
36. Wow. So Mary, where do you derive your inspiration from? Do you choreograph yourself?
I actually I would consider myself an expert at translation. I haven't dedicated much of my time in terms of choreography. Being the artistic director and the president of the organization, there's just so many areas that I have to delve into. So, and I really feel very strongly about the importance of the study of choreography. And at some juncture, I will. And there are times when I do collaborative things, but in terms of dedicating my time as a choreographer, I have not desired to do that at this moment in time. But we do have 60 works in our repertory, actually more than 60, from various choreographers throughout the country.
And there's like the choreography called Snowman. That how old is Snowman?
Snowman was created in the 1999 2000 year. So that was our first big production, story ballet production. And then since then, we've produced Alice in Wonderland, like you've never seen before. It has reggae music. Pinocchio, which was done by a choreographer that is in New York working in Broadway. And let's see, Helen Keller, a tribute to her teacher, Anne Sullivan. And Daring to be Dumbo, which was based on an anti-bullying campaign that was hugely successful. And then we have just repertory pieces, that are in full-length story ballets, of course.
Yeah, but you were telling me last summer how Snowman, you try to put it away and then somebody always wants it back.
Keeps coming back. Well, it's actually a beloved story. And this past year, I was thinking about remounting it, and ironically, a friend of mine who had presented it in Toledo surfaced, and she said she didn't even know I was going to put it on the program, and she said, "What about we do Snowman again this year?" And so then I said, "Okay, that makes total sense." So we did it in November in Toledo and December in Cleveland.
Oh, nice. And you dance in it yourself, right?
Yes, I play a 7-year-old little boy, which those that know me feel like it's quite a stretch. But it's a charming story, and it's the character is obviously a child. So being able to transport yourself as a child with that wonderment, whether it be a little boy or a little girl, doesn't really matter. But it's so endearing that it just brings me so much joy to even do the production. It's a lot of work, but I love doing it.
Yeah. You know, I heard a story when you guys were performing it here in Austin long time ago, that there was a little girl sitting next to a friend of mine, my colleague and my boss, and she was disabled, and she saw you coming in, and she started crying, and she started cheering, and she was very touched and inspired by you. So, I mean, it's just the change that you do by playing a little boy, you know, is amazing. Makes an impact on a lot of kids.
Yeah. I mean, my dream is that the dance itself and the stories that we tell behind the dances will change lives for these kids and adults, because oftentimes I think that people can't vision themselves doing something like that. So when they see somebody else, they see the possibilities, then they kind of look inside themselves and determine that perhaps it isn't too far out of their reach.
Yeah, yeah. There is that part of advocacy work, even though that is not your focus, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I always feel that an art should be for a reason. It should be able to impact people emotionally and offer long-lasting memories. And whether that's just a beautiful production on stage that they will remember most of their lives, or if it's a moment in time that they say, you know, it's time that I look to my vision of possibilities.
So that is the inspiring force behind 36 years of Dancing Wheels.
Yes, yes. And sometimes we need to be reminded of it, because, you know, it is the business of the arts as well, and tons of work that go behind it. And, you know, there are days where you're tired and you've worked for 36 years and you go, wow, why am I still doing this? And then you turn and there's that child and you say, now I know why I'm doing this.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, especially like you were saying, you're wearing so many hats on running it. You get lost into that admin work and you forget about those very inspirational, impactful moments.
That's why I love the fact that I can still dance and be out performing and teaching as well.
So it reminds you of how did you even get started doing this?
Right.
Is for your own love towards moving and then being able to transfer that to other people.
Yes.
I love it. So you were saying you guys were rebranding. You're rebranding your company, so there's a lot of changes coming up.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it's long in coming, let's put it that way. reaching, you know, this, we set out what we called the big, hairy, audacious goal, you know, years ago, and that was to, you know, be recognized as the World Center for Integrated Dance and Arts Access, and we've been moving towards that for many years. And then for our anniversary, I said, you know what, we're there, so we might as well claim ourselves as such, because we are reaching throughout the world and people are coming to us for training. So, you know, you have to stop just reaching for it at one point and become it. So that's what we decided to do.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. You just need to go for it.
Yeah.
And so you're in Cleveland, Ohio, right?
Yes, we're based in Cleveland, yeah.
Is that where Dancing Wheels have always been? Or
yeah, we've always been based in Cleveland. We have two huge studios in the midtown of Cleveland, almost downtown, and it's where our offices are too.
I see. And how long you have had the building?
We've been in that the building close to 20 years.
These are always fascinating to me, how when you start looking back, how did the things start to, from the idea to starting something to getting the physical location and then building that. It's always very interesting to me. What do you think was the most challenging part when you look back?
Oh gosh, because so many things have been a challenge over the years. I think initially it was seeing is believing. So because it was such a new concept to the people who were funders or audience members, they hadn't seen it, so they didn't know what to expect. And in people's minds, if they what they would conjure up in terms of hearing disability and dance, they could not put those two things together until they saw it. So the first challenge was to get people to see it and to understand it and understand its validity as a legitimate art form. And I still remember when we first went to try to receive a grant through the Ohio Arts Council. And again, this was years and years and years ago, but they were discussing, the panel were discussing just what is this, and is it a flash in the pan? How many different ways can you really dance if you're in a wheelchair? These were all, and this was before the ADA, so they were asking innocently because they had no idea, no comprehension whatsoever. I was fortunate because the head of the panel had set up an opportunity for me to go out into a school and do a lecture performance and a workshop with their kids. And so she got to witness it and saw it and gave testimony to the whole panel on how it was a beautiful form of art, and that it would have a lasting life to it, and that it couldn't compare with anything else that she had ever seen. So it took her breath away, she said, and within that time frame, she convinced the entire panel to vote for us to receive our very first government grant.
Wow. So really people seeing the work has helped you to go
Yes.
through.
And even now, I would say our biggest challenges are academia. So, as far as I can see, it's still very difficult for somebody in a wheelchair to get a degree in dance at any university. There's probably few and far between. And that's because most educators can't see how they can all take class together and that they can lend the same knowledge through the learning process as their non-disabled peers. So like our dancers, even if they can't move their legs for ballet, we're strengthening our arms, our hands, our
Wrists.
Our wrists, our upper body strength, so that we can be agile, move across the floor quickly, understand the terminology, so that actually a person in a wheelchair can teach a ballet class. It's based on terminology, so if you know that and you know the combinations, you can teach a ballet class.
Yeah, I always wondered this because taking ballet classes as a child, I remember all of my teachers would sit in a chair and do the combinations with their arms anyway. So very few ballet teachers,
Actually got up and did it,
yeah, actually got up and did the combinations on their own. So really.
So once they, I think once they actually see that translation happening, they can understand. And it's not just movement for movement's sake. Obviously, you know, there's ways of really working the muscles so that you are strengthening yourself and, you know, flexibility. And you can see the difference in our dancers in terms of their technique as well.
So. Yeah, and there is an intention and, you know, intention behind every move in ballet. So yeah. Once you grasp the intention, you can transfer that to another body part.
Exactly, exactly. And then, of course, the, you know, port-a-bras are the same. And those that maybe only have the use of one arm, you know, they can strengthen that arm. You know, it's kind of like, don't let your body parts behind.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. So how do you feel like the field has changed today? Do you feel like it has changed a lot or a little? Or what has been the biggest change in the integrated dance world or in USA at least?
Yeah. I think that there's many more people doing integrated dance, and I think that now there's bigger organizations taking a much stronger look in supporting of that, excuse me.
Sure.
And that's critical to change. But in the same vein, academia still is very closed-minded about it. I think they look at separate programming versus the fact that separate is not equal generally.
Yeah, so they're looking to put like a disability class instead of integrating it to a normal or the mainstream.
Yeah, and you know, I just had a we have actually a subcommittee of our board that's specifically working to develop this certification program and to try to institute it into working with a university. And the person that is in charge of the dance department in this particular college has actually tried to defer it to the PT department, which tells you right now that she doesn't see it as legitimate dance. She sees it as therapeutic or a form of therapy.
Yeah.
So that shows you how.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And this person has known us for years and years and years. And we did a masterclass series at the college last year. And it was very successful. We had 30 participants come from as far as New York to be a part of it. And it was 3 sessions in 2 days. And it was more of an overview kind of training, like an introduction to it.
Yeah.
And people, like, loved it. And they still didn't. They were like, well, good luck with the, you know, having it in the physical therapy department. I'm like,
oh wow. So this is if when you look into future, this is something you would love to see, is to have academia taken people with disabilities into their dance major programs as an equal participant.
Yeah, that's actually my big driving quest at this point.
Wow. I know there are some people working towards that as well.
Yes, yes. Well, so, we all need to work on it together.
Yeah, we all need to work on it together. True, true.
Yeah.
And so, what is going on with that? What is? Do you have a new production coming out for the summer or this year? Anything interesting and new happening?
Well, we're always producing this. January, we had worked with 2 very interesting musicians who were classically trained, and then they went into avant-garde music, and they used beatbox, and, you know, they're really very interesting. So we had given our dancers an opportunity to choreograph to 9 different songs that they had. So
How many dancers do you have in your company now?
12.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it was really a very interesting concept. And so they each, those that wanted to choreograph were given the opportunity and some little stipends to be able to do that. So we concluded that, and it seemed quite interesting. And then, obviously, we travel a great deal, so we're on the road a lot. I was just looking at my calendar. Like in March, we have, I can't even tell you how many shows coming up. And then in June, we're having our big gala event. And so every year, it's our big fundraising sort of event. And most of the time, I mix it with a premiere concert of some sort.
So oh, I see. Okay.
The one we're going to do is in an outdoor amphitheater in Cleveland, and it's called Nautica. And we're doing the Cleveland premiere of Labyrinth. It's the David Bowie film.
And yeah, that was choreographed last year, right?
It was, and that's the reason it's the Cleveland premiere, because we created it, and then it was supposed to be seen in a different outdoor amphitheater, and there was a huge storm, and electricity blew out of the facility, so we couldn't show it. There was just, like, no way to show it. So we did show it on tour at Mercyhurst College, and now we'll be bringing it up in Cleveland. But we decided to really build upon that theme, so we're doing the Best of Bowie. So we're working with several choreographers also to create works based on the themes of Bowie music. And I also am working with a gentleman that has a online newspaper that says he's an expert on David Bowie's life. So he has all these film footages, background on David Bowie, his life and his times, his early years, his later years. So we're going to do a thread through with him telling some of the backstories and three pieces besides the Labyrinth one. So it should be, it's a big job again, but it's a very interesting concert for people who follow his music, which it's interesting because he had such a wide range of music throughout history. So it wasn't just one genre of music.
True. It sounds like it's going to be a beautiful tribute to David Bowie.
Yeah, it should be fun. And
Mary, are you a David Bowie fan?
You know, I liked a number of his works. I wouldn't say at the time that I was a David Bowie follower, but I've learned a lot about him, which gave me an even greater appreciation. One of the things I really love doing is the research behind certain projects, because that really enlightens me a whole lot more on subjects that maybe I wouldn't have delved into in the past.
So talking about fans and role models, you really didn't have a role model when you were growing up as a person with a disability dancing, did you?
No, I really didn't. There wasn't anyone that I could
look up to.
Say, I want to be just like her.
Yeah. Yeah. So who were your role models? Did you have role models?
I would say that for me, I always studied strong women in life. So my grandmother was a very strong, determined person. And I have a lot of that inside of me, I think, just through association and through, you know, my legacy with her. And then, you know, just looking at women throughout history who took risks and challenges and sacrifices, and saw what it was that was inside of them that let them do what they wanted to do. And, you know, it wasn't always easy. You know, people like Rosa Parks, you know, those are standout people, but you learn traits of what it takes to be, to have that strength.
And now I'm thinking, I went to Keshet in January, and they have their pre-professional program, and they have their first student with a disability in the pre-professional program. And it was wonderful to be able to say to her, look up to Dancing Wheels, look up to Axis, look up these companies that have people with disabilities. So now you really have become a role model for young kids and young students with disabilities.
Really wonderful to hear. Thank you for sharing.
You know, yeah. But because it is, it still is a field that, as a young student of dance with a disability, you kind of need to make it happen, because that, like you, right. you were saying, you were self-taught. Your mother worked with you, and then you seeked after ways of educating yourself.
Right.
So
yeah. Really can't just sit back and have it happen to you, because it's something that needs to be proactive with.
Yeah, and I feel like your future plans for the education, that's like, that is really the next step.
Yes, thinking. It really is, because then it'll be commonplace, you know. Right now, it kind of reminds me back in the advocacy days when people in wheelchairs couldn't ride mainline transportation. They couldn't get on the buses. And then the transit authorities would say, well, we don't have anybody that wants to ride the bus. And we would say, well, you don't know that, because you can't get on the bus. So, you know, it's like, all right. People in wheelchairs might, or with other disabilities, might not go to a dance department and say, I want to get a degree in dance, because they don't think they can.
Yeah. It's been so nice to talk to you, Mary. I love watching what Dancing Wheels is up to at Cleveland. And, you know, one of my dreams is to come to one of your trainings soon.
I'd love to have you. Yes. Come join us.
Yeah, I would love to come. So I will definitely keep my eyes peeled on. Is it dancingwheels.com?
Org?
Yeah. So everybody go on, check on. You have videos and beautiful photos and
hopefully this new site will be launched real soon, and
you'll see
even more.
So we're looking forward to seeing the updated site. And while that is happening, there is still a lot to look in the old side, too.
Thank you.
It was great talking to you, Mary.
Nice to see you, honey. Take care.